Thanks for being with us on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sesmat. This will be our final show for 2014. Really looking forward to 2015. It's been a great year of growth, great year with our partners. We've been to a lot of places. We've done a lot of things. We've had a lot of content consumed. And we continue to grow this by leaps and bounds. Thanks to all of you for being involved and to our partners for jumping in. Our partnerships grew this year by more than 60%. It's been a terrific year for where the company is, and really looking forward to 2015 as we continue to be Arizona-centric on the digital platform. Everything is going right here or into your smartphones or into these little iPad minis, and that's the future. It is. And it's you can't even debate it. It's terrific to be partnered with AZ Central, and the people at AZ Central Sports, appreciate them jumping on board. The show today is like this. Peter King is going to be with us, SI.com senior NFL writer, and we are taping this show on a Tuesday, doing it live right now as you watch, but it will be there for the next 3 days. So we'll talk to Peter quite a bit about the upcoming Carolina and Cardinal game, the playoff matchup on Saturday afternoon at 2:30. Also about Jim Harbaugh going back to college. Black Monday, what is the view from Peter on the good jobs, the bad jobs? Also, I think today's the day that MMQB, Peter's website, is releasing their all-everything team. You know, he has all these awards. And so we're going to talk to Peter about that. Jake Plummer will be with us, ASU legend, Pac-12 network analyst. We're going to go through all the bowl games for New Year's Day and talk to him about ASU's win, U of A against Boise State, and some NFL stuff with Jake Plummer. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us because, look, this is a huge gambling weekend, one of the biggest gambling weekends around. We'll go through the NFL playoffs, what are they saying in Vegas, and also on the bowl front as well. So all that is straight ahead. The big story in sports today, as we get you caught up, what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. New Year's Eve coming up. Who wouldn't want to be at the Honda Resort and Casino for this long holiday weekend? You haven't decided where you want to go. It sounds like there's a lot of snow moving in. That means the Sunrise Ski Resort is going to be terrific. The Honda Resort and Casino, that's the place to stay. Just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, plenty of places for you to go, see, take in the White Mountains, but then stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, eat some great food, have some fun, and do it all at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one, and we appreciate their partnership once again. The big story in sports today is, and I think even moving forward, there's a lot on my mind in the college football front. Jim Harbaugh is being introduced at Michigan as their new head coach. This has a chain reaction. I went over to the Fiesta Bowl this morning, wanted to talk to Rich Rodriguez about Michigan, the job, and his thoughts. Obviously, the national story and Rich Rod being connected to Michigan. He said he's happy. Of course he is, because, look, if you're a college football coach, I'm sure Todd Graham is ecstatic today. Any person who's a college football coach or aspiring and sees the number $48 million, and most of that money, by the way, is coming from Disney. Yeah, that's right, Disney. How's that work? Big Ten is tied in with ABC. ABC owned by ESPN, owned by Disney. So Mickey Mouse is underwriting the check for Jim Harbaugh. This is not a big deal financially to the bottom line of the university. But it does have far-reaching implications. What's a guy like Todd Graham or a coach like Rich Rodriguez, assuming they continue their upwards climb, in this world of success of coaching college football, what are they going to want? Could we see their numbers be around $3 and $4 million base? A deal like Harbaugh's today has far-reaching implications. And so the press conference is going on right now in Michigan, and they're talking all about Jim Harbaugh. We may dive into that here in a couple of minutes. The other college football stuff, have you guys heard what's going on with the Rose Bowl? They can't sell tickets to this Oregon-Florida State matchup. They've got lots and lots of tickets that are not being sold. My understanding, the Fiesta Bowl, and obviously this is not a 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3, but the Fiesta Bowl is part of this coalition, is part of this group, is part of this new era of college football. They're not going to be sold out when Arizona plays Boise State tomorrow. guess what? This is the new world that we live in. There's going to be years where the Fiesta Bowl, because they are part of this group, when they have the national title game, that's easy. That's no-brainer. That game will be sold out. But if we're sitting here in a Final Four and they can't get the games in the Final Four sold out, that's not good news. Let's take it to Michigan. Here's Jim Harbaugh stepping to the podium. New coach at Michigan, Jim Harbaugh.
Thank you very much. Got to apologize for my voice. They dumped Gatorade over me Sunday after our ball game, and I've lost my vocal cords a little bit. But and I don't know if anybody saw me trip on the way in. Did anybody see that? A lesser athlete would have gone down. That's all I have to say about that. But there are very special words that are in the English language that we all embrace. There's family, there's friends, there's teammates, there's victory. I was reminded of another very special word when I was driving into Ann Arbor this morning, and that word is homecoming. Our family's had three homecomings to Ann Arbor, Michigan in my lifetime. The first was in 1973 when my dad was hired to coach the secondary at the University of Michigan. We came in March.
All right, that's Jim Harbaugh at the podium. So Jim Harbaugh introduced now as a new coach of the Michigan Wolverines, and I think there's far-reaching implications. Boy, it would be great, Eric. Wouldn't it be great if Arizona or Arizona State had Michigan on the schedule the next few years? I mean, I know that Michigan State is on ASU's schedule coming up, but it would be a lot of fun to have a Michigan coming down the pike. And maybe as they go through their transition, you know, not having Notre Dame anymore, that we could see that down the road. I don't know. I think Eric, are you into this Harbaugh thing today?
Am I into it?
Yeah, I mean, is this like a cool thing, seeing him go into college?
Sure.
A guy leaving a pro job and going to college.
Most important, Brad, it's great for Michigan, because Michigan needs to go back to being the Michigan. It's good for college football when Michigan is a Big Ten power. It's not good for college football when Michigan misses bowl games.
Could you imagine if there was a Harbaugh? There's not a Harbaugh-like figure that would come into Arizona or Arizona State. I mean, Rich Rod and Todd Graham are going to recruit against one another. I don't see Todd Graham finishing his career as the coach at Arizona State.
I don't either.
I could see Rich Rod potentially doing it, just because financially, the annuity thing they have set up down there, I could see that potentially.
Unless.
Yeah, throw the name at me.
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah,
Florida.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's always going to be the SEC.
LSU.
There's always going to be that. But no, I think it would be, if ASU had to recruit nationally, and you know, ASU's talking about how they aspire to recruit nationally. I don't think that Rich Rod necessarily goes out and does the national thing. Yeah, he's had some good players that have transferred in from other programs. But how often have we seen him go to Michigan or Ohio here in his early years at coaching at U of A? Same thing with Todd Graham. Todd Graham's going down to Texas. Todd Graham has pipelines, but if Todd Graham really, I'm really focusing on ASU on this one. If ASU really aspires to be this national program that's not ranked like 10 through 20, which I think they are right now. I think they're, I don't know, 12th best program in the country, 15th best program in the country, something like that.
Well, then look who goes and handpicks talent from around the country. USC, Michigan, Ohio State,
sure.
Oregon. ASU and U of A are not in that class.
They're not in that class.
And they may never be in that class.
They may never be, or they may try to be in that class. And now you've got another big fish in the pond that you've got to recruit against. You know, if you're Mark D'Antonio and you just came out here and you got Lewerke, well, Lewerke said, I'm going to go to Michigan State. If Jim Harbaugh called Lewerke today and said, hey, you sure about that commitment? I don't know. If I'm the dad, I probably am thinking, yeah, son, you already committed, but that was before this happened. My point is, there's a national perception at Michigan that is still evading us here in Arizona. You don't want to hear that? It's a fact, okay? Start getting kids from across the country, and then we'll see things a little differently. If you're Michael Crow, if you're looking at this, we are the Harvard of the West, and we are the you see Jim Harbaugh there for any athletic director. There are athletic directors today, and more importantly, school presidents, in Crow's case, that are looking at Jim Harbaugh and thinking, oh my gosh, look at all the attention they're getting. What could this guy, what could Nick Saban do for our school? Or if you're the New York Jets, what would Nick Saban do for our awful franchise? It's a two-way street, right? Could Harbaugh retire at Michigan? I don't know. But for now, all of a sudden, next September, as college football continues its growth, as college football continues to grow in interest, yeah, the NFL's got their space. It's fine. But if you're not in on the college scene, you're missing out. It's great that Jim Harbaugh's in. It's just terrific. Really
I can't believe, Brad, that he is not with the 49ers.
Oh, that's the other thing.
I can't believe it. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is not the 49ers coach. Rex Ryan is not the Jets coach. And Mike Smith is not the Falcons coach. But those are three good coaches. I mean, those are
I'm not
good,
big on Mike
legitimate.
Smith. I'm not big on
Look what
Mike
he did
Smith.
In Atlanta. Look what he took over. He got
If I had Julio Jones, I had Roddy White,
anyway,
and I had
it was a dumpster fire when he took over, thanks to Bobby Petrino and that whole mess.
But
and what did he do? He won.
He had a good roster given to him. And he got
and Harbaugh you know didn't. And Harbaugh didn't.
It's the little things, okay? It's the little things. Mike Smith had a weekly spot on that he did on NFL Network on their radio side.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always do it on speakerphone.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's just... And then Hard Knocks. You know, I'd see him on Hard Knocks, and it's like, I don't see it.
I'm not surprised, that he got fired. I'm just surprised that those are three really good head coaches that are no longer with their old team. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, but
I
is
mean,
Mike Smith going to get hired by
it's
somebody?
Not, Mark Trestman got fired. Okay, great. Who cares? It's Mark Trestman. Like that. Yeah. That was a bad decision to begin with. But I mean, Harbaugh was. Do you realize how close the 49ers have been to winning and reaching Super Bowls multiple times?
Yeah, but you know what? If you're maintenance, you're going to get. You're yep. just if you're maintenance.
Too many egos, and not just Harbaugh, from what I've been hearing.
Sure, but if you're always sitting there. Having to be coddled or told, or if there's no give and take, okay? You and I have to sit here and we figure shows out and we just do it with our, sometimes we're asleep and sometimes it sounds like that on the air. But when we do our thing, we have some spirited debate. If you guys are at your place of work and you don't have spirited debate, you're just sitting there rolling through another day, it's another day off the calendar, guys. Yeah, you may be aiming for 30 years down the road, but you've got nothing going. Right? I mean, you're just going through life like nothing. If you're not passionate about it, Harbaugh's passionate. Okay? We get passionate about this. DJ Foster has a press conference today. And if DJ Foster announces that he's turning pro, then that's, you know, that's the young man's decision. But that would be a wrong decision in my view. The fact that he's holding a press conference typically for ASU means that he may rip open his shirt and say, I'm a Sun Devil and I'm staying here in Forks Up and we all live happily ever after and there's free food. Or it would be a shocker to me if he announced that he was going to turn pro. I really would be surprised by that. Peter King's on the other side. We talked with Peter about the Cardinals matchup. SI.com senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief, our final show for 2014. Really looking forward to 2015. Some big things in store as we continue to grow this by leaps and bounds. It's put in my heart, put in my head, been chasing it. It's been great to grow it. We continue to grow it thanks to a lot of you and our partners as well. Sports360, AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Peter King joins us now for a couple of minutes. Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat, Peter King, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial and Jeremy Kitamura, Ameriprise Financial, for all of your needs as we come into this playoff week. Peter, appreciate you joining us. I wanted to get right into it. I know our time is short. MMQB, your 26 awards that you handed out, 26 voters. What was the most difficult award for MMQB to hand out? You've got it up on your website today.
Well, you know, the one thing we tried to do this year, because I'm one of the voters in the AP votes, and the AP votes to me are difficult because they ask you to pick one guy. Baseball, if you're voting for MVP, you go 1 through 10, one being the most valuable, and then you go down. And I've always thought that it's silly, especially in a year like this. I would assume, and I don't know this, but I would assume that Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP this year. But so if you have one vote, there's 50 voters for that, and Aaron Rodgers gets whatever it is, 38 votes, 42 votes. Is that really reflective, beating Tony Romo or DeMarco Murray or J.J. Watt 38-3 with a couple of bunch of other guys getting one vote? Is that reflective of how close the race was? I don't think so. So what I wanted to do this year was give everybody a chance to vote for their top five at MVP, Coach of the Year, Assistant Coach of the Year, all that. And, you know, so we did that. And I thought it was kind of interesting that Aaron Rodgers won the MVP, which is very justified. But after that, you know, J.J. Watt got half the number of votes that that Rodgers did. So I thought that was really interesting, and I thought it was telling based on what we've seen in this season with Watt having one of the best defensive seasons the guy's ever had.
And on top of that, as you said last week, you thought this would be the case, but you weren't sure. Bruce Arians gets Coach of the Year and Todd Bowles gets the Assistant Coach of the Year.
You know, I very well deserved on both sides. The biggest reason, I think, is because when you look at this season and the way it's gone, you got to take it as 17 weeks. If you looked at the last 4 or 5 weeks, you would say, boy, you know, Cardinals have really fallen. Somebody else should win these things. But if you look at the year as a whole, there's no way you would say that, because the year as a whole shows that, you know, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles were both dynamite at their jobs for the full season.
You know, Peter, we all know what's gone on out here, so I want to focus on Carolina for a couple of minutes. You know, Tony Dungy the other night said he likes Carolina to make a run on Sunday Night Football. What's gone right there for them recently from your view?
Being able to run the ball very, very well late in the season with a variety of guys, and basically getting a wake-up call on defense that came far, far too late for them to be a really good team. But all that matters at this point is, especially if you can get one home game, you get in the Derby, and if you get one home game, who knows what happens after that. But for the Carolina Panthers to be in the final 12, I don't think is that much of a stunner. If they got in the final 8, especially if they could beat a team that is as good on defense but obviously struggling on offense as Arizona is, I think that would be a great accomplishment for them this year.
Is it a situation in Carolina where Cam Newton, we know about the accident, was it a bit of a wake-up call for him? Has anybody done that angle with him on his career? And because it's been up and down.
That is a really, really good question. I mean, my thought on Cam right now is that he really has had a difficult year, having nothing to do with what's going on off the field. But think about Cam Newton. When you have as difficult a year, your whole offensive line is rebuilt, you know, over the year. And then almost all of your receivers are brand new. So you look at it and you say, this guy has really had to put up with a tremendous amount this year that most guys don't have to put up with. And so I hand it to him. I think he's had a good year under the circumstances.
When you look at the playoffs, are you one of those that's into teams rising like Dallas, or is Seattle still the team to beat because they're at home, even though Dallas beat them earlier this year?
The interesting thing for Seattle, in my opinion anyway, is that, you know, the most dangerous team for Seattle is Dallas, because Dallas went up to Seattle this year and beat them.
Right.
And yet, before they would have to face each other, it's likely that Dallas would have to go to Green Bay. I mean, obviously, Dallas will have to go to Green Bay. And, you know, if that happens, you know, I mean, I think Green Bay is going to beat Dallas in Green Bay. But if Dallas got the energy and got pumped up by winning a game, you know, in Green Bay and then had to go to Seattle, all of a sudden, I think Dallas becomes a very dangerous team in Seattle. You know, that's their, you know, that's a little bit of their kryptonite this year. I think that would be a real dangerous game for the Seattle Seahawks if they had to face Dallas with its ability to throw it and run it so well.
Peter King, the MMQB. Before I let you go, a couple other questions. Ndamukong Suh, do you expect him to win the appeal and play this weekend?
I think he's got a decent chance to win the appeal. As for whether I expect it, I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I doubt it. But if anybody could win the appeal, he's going in front of Ted Cottrell. Now, Ted Cottrell let Ed Reed off the hook a couple of years ago. And when he let Ed Reed off the hook a couple of years ago, I think that set the stage for people thinking, well, maybe Ndamukong Suh has a chance. So I wouldn't be surprised if he won the appeal. But again, I mean, it's in Cottrell's hands, and we'll see by the end of the day today.
Last question for you, Peter. Todd Bowles' name is out there front and center. Of the jobs that's available, what is the best of the jobs that are available that Todd could be linked to?
If I were him, I'd really want to get involved in Atlanta. And again, I don't know if Atlanta's interested in him right now, but mm-hmm. I think that's the best job right now. It's got a quarterback who really wants to be great, and I think has a chance to be great in that system. So I would want the Atlanta job. I'd be afraid of Chicago. I think it's a little bit toxic. And I'd like the Oakland job a little bit.
Hmm.
As long as you're going to get control to do what you need to do with Mark Davis, I don't think that's a bad job at all. I mean, that's the best Oakland job in, I'd say, 8 or 10 years with the best young talent that they've had in a while.
Happy New Year's. Safe travels. Stay well. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks very much, Brad. Take care.
You too. There's Peter King with us every week. Peter King, SI.com, senior NFL writer, MMQB. Appreciate his time. He's got a lot going on today. And to squeeze us in there for a few minutes, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford experience for me started early this morning. I talked to you about my Ford Fusion and how happy I am driving it around the valley. Early this morning, we knew about the Harbaugh thing the last couple of days. I knew Rich Rodriguez was going to be talking at the Fiesta Bowl. And obviously, there's a big storyline there. Rich was at Michigan. I wanted to get his thoughts. So I was up early, made it down to the Fiesta Bowl, had a nice drive down there, called Eric on a couple of things we wanted to do today. From there to here, made a couple of calls on the show, some content I was thinking about talking about, wanted some people's background, some agents. And from here, I'll go to the DJ Foster press conference, a couple other business things around the day, and then I'm going to turn it into dad time tonight, run into practices and swim and all that stuff. I do it in a vehicle that makes a lot of sense for me as 2014 winds down. Guys, you have a couple days left. It's the perfect time to go to Santan Ford, to go see General Manager Tim Hovick, to walk on the dealership floor and say, I think I need to get a vehicle, whether it's new, used, certified, pre-owned, however you want to term it. It's all there for you at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 and Val Vista. Santan Ford, appreciate all the support throughout this year and actually the last 3 years with Santan Ford. It is all about you. Looking forward to 2015. On the other side, Jake Plummer, ASU legend, Pac-12 network analyst. We're going to talk about these bowl games, the Harbaugh contract, and some things on Jake's mind around the NFL playoffs, ASU and how they handled Duke. Was he pleased with the overall performance? That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Jake Plummer joins us now, Sports360AZ. AZ Central Sports, Brad Sussmat with you, our final show of 2014. Really looking forward to 2015 as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. Jake Plummer, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Appreciate Ameriprise Financial. And Jake Plummer for 2014, looking forward to 2015. What are your resolutions for 2015? Sports-related, non-sports-related. You got any?
Oh, you know, resolutions are silly things, but I.
What are some things you want to do?
Challenges.
What are some things you want to do? What are some challenges for 2015? Then.
Well, you know, I turned 40, and it's time for me. I talked about it on my podcast to man up, get going on a couple things I've had on my list for a long time, and in the essence of, you know, someone we talk about a lot, Pat Tillman, just kind of saying, all right, if you're going to learn Spanish, then stop talking about it and get it done. So, just a few things like that, just to challenge myself to get better and, you know, start setting a good example for my boys.
You sound old.
Well, turning 40 will make you reflect and think about a lot of stuff, and that's kind of what's happened to me lately.
Yeah. You're not going to have a colonoscopy, are you?
No. You know, I'm going to be just healthy and living my life and doing the right thing. I'm pretty healthy, so.
Yeah. I'm turning 50 this year, so I'm going to have a colonoscopy.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do, you know, because it's something you can prevent.
Got to check the plumbing, you know.
Yes, you do.
That's how it works. So so you want to learn Spanish, or is that just an example?
Yeah, that I actually do. I've been wanting to for a while, and it's one of those things I think that everybody should learn with the amount of Hispanics living in America now and the fact that other countries, a lot of people know multiple languages, and in our country, we sometimes don't even know how to speak our own language. So kind of a challenge to myself to just get better at that. And there's some guys that play paddleball here in Boulder, and it's all a bunch of Mexicans. And so to go down there and to be able to communicate so that we can play some paddleball and maybe have them play some handball,
I see.
I obviously need to speak Spanish, so it's one of those things I've been wanting to learn.
I see. Do you want to travel worldwide? You've not been a traveler, have you?
We've traveled. Me and my wife have back when we had no kids, but right now with kids, it's
Don't do it.
It's a little difficult. We do easier trips, you know, like go to California to the coast or go see family, and that's about it.
Yeah, go see family and say, hey, watch these guys for a couple hours. We're going to bolt. We're going to get out of here. Of the bowl games that are coming up, which one are you looking most forward to?
Well, obviously, really looking forward to seeing, you know, the Oregon FSU game. I know I mentioned it earlier about how I can't. It's tough to wait to watch that game. It's getting closer.
Yeah.
And looking forward to just seeing what happens with that one. And you know, there's been some real dumpers. I think the bowl games with some teams that I don't think should have been in the bowls at 6-6 records and that kind of thing, but.
Texas was awful. Texas was just awful.
Yeah, and I mean,
Oklahoma
got
was
killed.
Brutal.
Yeah, that's just, it's. I don't know. You know, some of those teams, if it's not a national title, they don't even play, which I wish they would extend the offer to other teams that would be real hungry to get into a bowl game. You know, I'm really looking forward to any Pac-12 matchup. I mean, Stanford-Maryland's a great one. Just hope Stanford wins. And then Arizona-Boise State, that's going to be a good game. Really looking forward to watching that one.
I was impressed with Boise State's coach. Very, very impressed with Boise.
I've known Brian since he was just a little kid. My grandma lived across the street from him. We played Little League Baseball together, and he was at Capitol High after I left 2 years after as the quarterback and played in at Arizona State. My senior year, they played us, and he actually got in the game and had a fumble sack. Stripped by Derek Ford, and it was kind of funny because he was bummed that happened, but it was kind of neat, two kids that knew each other from way back on the same field in Arizona.
What is the Harbaugh, and I asked him about this, and Rich Rod today, Harbaugh's contract, what does it do for coaches? And it makes, and Brian said, I have a lot of thoughts on that, and he smiled really big. Like, yeah, you know, $8 million a year to coach college football. What does the Harbaugh thing do? You're sitting in your Pac-12 network analyst chair right now. What is Harbaugh being back in college and being paid that amount of jack due to the college game?
Well, I don't think it does anything good for the game. I think it actually is a bad message to be sending.
Really?
I believe so. I don't think anybody's worth $8 million as a coach unless they're going to come in there and be in the national title game every year. Meanwhile, you know, the college athlete continues to just get by barely with the amount of money and scholarships. And I know there's been some changes and some talk of allowing a little bit more compensation for the athletes, but you can't tell me that his job is that important that he should make $8 million a year. But, you know, that's the nature of the game. I think it's just going to keep getting worse and worse until I don't know where they're going to come up with the money to pay these contracts and the schools. When it's a university, we forget that it's about higher education, not about football. So, you know, Michigan's desperate, and they're bringing back one of their former players, and he's done a great job at Stanford and then at the Niners, and he's had a great track record. So we'll see if he can continue that on at Michigan. But I don't like the amount. I don't think any coach is worth that amount, especially when the players are playing for free.
You probably should have been paid six figures when you were at ASU, in my opinion, because here's the thing on that, Jake. Harbaugh's the face of Michigan, the university, not just football, whether that's right or wrong. And Disney is partnered with ABC and ESPN, and they're all there as part of the Big Ten, okay? When you were at ASU, you were the face. Bruce Snyder was the football coach, but you brought the program and your teammates. And I know you're never going to be one to say, yeah, Brad, you're right. I get that. But I'm just telling you that everybody was following ASU football in the 96-97s because Jake Plummer was leading the team. You can make that argument that even then you were of value more than just a guy throwing a football around. Would you agree with that or not?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, playing for your university and your heart is in it, and everything you do motivation-wise is geared towards the Sun Devils and or whatever school you're at. And that's the essence of college. It's a great thing. These athletes are supposed to be going to school, going to class, getting an education, or staying on track for an education and then having that to fall back on. Yet we know, I mean, right now the college is kind of turning into, you know, 1 to 2 years is all you need now to have success, to have a shot at the NFL. And I think that kids should go. Get out of the league, especially if you're a running back. Yeah. QB's not so fast. You know, Manziel's got a long ways to go. Would have benefited, I think, from playing another year of college football and getting those reps. But if a player, you know, with the short amount of time they have to go after that dream and to make that money, they should go. But remember to come back to school. But the ones that are in there, you know, that don't have that guarantee to go into the next level, they're very valuable to the university. And, you know, I obviously getting an education paid for is huge. But the money that they bring in, the amount of money now in these TV contracts, where is that money going? And now we know where it's going. It's going to one figurehead like a Jim Harbaugh, who, yeah, he's a good coach, but I don't think he's $8 million worth a good coach to coach in college. I really think that's a poor message to send, and I think it's one more step in the direction of seeing this thing crumble. And I hate to say that, but when you're talking big, big money like that, there's going to be something that comes out of this that can't be good for all of the NCAA.
There's a belief system that colleges and universities in general in our country, take sports out of the equation, are like the housing market, that there's going to be a bubble that bursts with all these student loans that are sitting there anyways.
Yeah.
So I buy into what you're saying. I want to go back, though, on something you brought up about a running back shelf life. You may know or you may not know, DJ Foster is announcing his intention today at noon. I'm of the opinion that he should stay another year. Hearing what you just said, I would think you and I have opposing views on this. It sounds like you think he should leave. I'm not one to put words in your mouth, but if you think a running back shelf life is short, and he's a different type of cat, I get it. He's Percy Harvin type-esque. Do you think he should stay? Do you think he should go?
I think he benefits from staying. You know, not all running backs are the same. He's not a ground and pound kind of guy. He's not taking the rock 30 times a game up in the middle and being hit multiple times, putting, you know, wearing off the tread on the tires. And so, you know, a guy like him, it would benefit him from playing for another year. And the fact that if he comes back, that team just is going to be even more explosive with him staying. And but if he does leave, I understand. It's the life expectancy for a running back in the NFL is just over 2.5 years, I think.
Right.
So, you know, if you're ready mentally and physically and you're being told, you know, you got a shot to make it, then go ahead and go. But I mean, he's a guy that, like you said, a Percy Harvin S type of guy who's going to be starting out on special teams, getting some reps in the backfield, moving him out in the slot and utilizing his skill set. So he might benefit from just another year of getting better and staying in college. But if he does decide to go, I see exactly why he would go, because, you know, the strike while the iron is hot and save your body. I mean, these guys, they're especially running backs, take a pounding. And I don't know why the NFL, you know, draft a guy and use him for 4 years and let him go. Because after four, most times running backs that get after it, they're no good after that. I mean, they're good, but they're very rarely do you see a Frank Gore that can go 8 consecutive years, you know, putting up 1,000 yards. I mean, that's just a rarity in the NFL.
Okay, one last question. We're talking about Jake Plummer, Ameriprise Financial. Jake Plummer with us every week. One last question on ASU. So they beat Duke. It was a struggle. Not every fan is happy. However, it's back-to-back 10-win seasons. You could make the argument, yeah, 10 wins, but a Jail Mary against USC. No, it's still 10 wins. Where do you come down on where the program is this year? They lost to their rival. Was it a great season for ASU football, Jake?
I think it was a great season. And to those fans that are upset about that, I feel sorry for the people trying to get them Christmas gifts. You know, at some point you have to be appreciative of the effort these kids put out. You have to be appreciative of the fact that, yeah, they went up through some ups and downs, and that's what sports is all about. Builds character, and not all seasons are perfect. And the fact that the team was able to fight through losing their starting quarterback and still win some games, still stay in the hunt, and be positioned that late in the season to be in the college football playoff, you know, from where they've come from the last few years, that's a huge step. Yeah, they lost to their rivals, but you know what? When your rival gets better and continues to improve, there's only one thing you can do, and that's to get better also. So I love the fact that that rivalry is gaining momentum. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't fun to watch them lose to U of A, but hey, we put some whoopings on them the last few years, and that's any good rivalry. It goes back and forth. So good season. You know, there's some youngsters that really stepped up that I like to watch play. A couple running backs, Richard and Balaj. I mean, those kids can play. Kwishi Brown, a huge interception to seal the game. Yeah, they didn't put Duke away, but Duke is a team that's trying to prove that they're good too. So the fans out there that don't understand that, you play the game because you know, when you go out there and it's a challenge, and not all the time do you dominate. Other teams are playing with pride also. I think it was a successful year, and I mean a big time success for ASU, especially beating Notre Dame, and that you know, national spotlight that put them into, and the recruiting. I mean that's how you build a program, and I always say it, and I'll continue to, is I just hope Todd Graham stays. Don't leave Todd Graham. Stay here for a long time, whether you love him or hate him. That's how you build a program. You can't just jump ship and go to the next grassy field. So hopefully he'll stick around. I mean, Norvell, I don't know if he's going to be around anymore, but you know, good young coaches, they got to move on. So
right.
good season, but for the Devils, and you know, they something to build on.
Who do you like in the NFL playoffs?
Man, that's a tough question. There's just some really good teams. Seattle just looks so good. They're both offensively, defensively, and people say they struggle offensively, but you know, with a defense as good as they're playing and a running back like Marshawn, you know, you don't have to be lights out on offense. So I look for them to be tough to beat. In the AFC, you know, obviously New England looks good. Denver looks good.
Does Denver look good?
With the Steelers, though. Big Ben.
Hey,
and
Jake.
The way they're playing right now, if Le'Veon Bell can come back healthy after that gruesome hit on his knee, you know, watch out for the Steelers. They've been there before, and they're motivated.
Jake, you said Denver looks good. There's a lot about Peyton right now. Is that just, are you buying into the Peyton is not the same Peyton?
Yeah, of course. He's not the same Peyton as what? Last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. Yeah, he's older. He's progressing. He's doing what he can do.
Yeah.
The game evolves, and great players evolve along with it. And he's finding, you know, doing the things he does best to continue to play at a high level. He still puts the ball right where you need to put it. And in the NFL, anticipation and accuracy is huge. So keeping him on his feet is big. I don't know why he was in the game in the fourth quarter last week with a 33-14 lead. That was ludicrous, you know, especially with a kid backing up there, Brock Osweiler, a Devil that needs the reps. But, hey, he's Peyton Manning. He's going to do what he wants to do. I think they're looking good. Their defense looks awesome. And that's this time of year what you need to have is a great defense.
Happy New Year's to you and yours. And I think we're going to see each other here in January. You're coming down?
Yep, I'll be down for the Super Bowl and hanging out in the valley, doing some golfing and appearances and having a good time. So, yeah, I will see you.
Okay, I'll see you then. Stay well.
Awesome. Happy New Year, Brad.
You too, Jake. Thanks. Jake Plummer for a few minutes. Brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Ameriprise Financial and Jeremy Kitamura. Appreciate Jeremy Kitamura and Ameriprise Financial. For all your retirement needs, see Ameriprise Financial and Jeremy Kitamura. You can click on them on our homepage, sports360az.com. It's been terrific having them as a partner this year as well. I'm looking forward to 2015. We're going to go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro here in a couple of minutes. Going to get a snapshot of New Year's Day in the NFL playoff games. Longtime Las Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino Resort odds maker. It's our final show for 2014. Really looking forward to big things ahead in 2015 as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
Get you ready for the new year now. Jimmy Vaccaro, longtime Las Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino Resort odds maker, breaking down the numbers this week. Biggest college and NFL games with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. Happy New Year's, Jimmy. Is there a buzz about the college semifinals? I know there's not out at the Rose Bowl. The tickets are not being taken by Oregon and Florida State. I hear down in Alabama and Ohio State it's a sellout. I'm curious, in Vegas, is there a buzz around these semis?
No, there's not a buzz around the semi as far as the attendance. Really, nobody really cares about that. But as far as, like, interest, it's getting to a frenzy point now with these two games. I can only imagine that, you know, if to make that long trip now and then have to wait if they win to go back, I can see why a lot of people are not going to, you know, travel west to do that. But I can guarantee you here in Las Vegas, it's a better place to be than one of those games. I'm telling you on the square, buddy.
I've got you on that one. All right. Oregon, Florida State, break it down. What's the view in Vegas?
You know, in both of these games, it's been outstanding so far. Great money, but on both sides. Oregon backers, Florida State. We haven't had to move the number in 20 days. Oregon is a 9-point favorite. The total 71. There's a few 9.5s around, but just like Florida State ticket and Oregon ticket, a Florida State ticket and Oregon ticket. For bookmakers, I mean, you can't ask for nothing better than that. I don't think there'll be a one-way attack. If money comes in, what you would consider the sharp money, they're trying to wait to see if either one of these games goes to 10, which I don't think so. At that time, the wise guys will jump in and take all the 10 on either side. Ohio State, Alabama, mirrors the Florida State, Oregon game, split right down the middle. Ticket count, money bet. Once again, it's very, very good for the bookmakers. And people have been calling. We're sold out, obviously, it's New Year's, but we're crazy. People want to know if we're having parties. And so it's just a big, big deal with this first playoff system.
Good deal. Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort, an odds maker. How about on the pro side, Cardinals at Carolina Saturday?
Here you go, kid. I'll give me all of them real quick. Pittsburgh Steelers, 3 over the Ravens. That money has been on both sides. It probably won't go up to 3 totals, 47. In your game, Arizona against Carolina. Carolina opened 4. Some money on Arizona. It's down to 3.5 in a lot of spots. The lowest total on the board is 38 for the obvious reasons. And then Sunday, naturally, the one everybody's waiting for, Dallas-Detroit. With the Sue suspension, whether he gets it or not, hasn't changed the number. Dallas is 7, totals 48. More money on Dallas right now. All the teaser action will be on Dallas, -1 to win the game. And then the early game on Sunday, Cincinnati Bengals at Indianapolis. Some people are considering that it's better that Cincinnati plays on the road as opposed to home. They're getting 4. It's down to 3.5, so a lot of people are agreeing that maybe Cincinnati will fare better on the road as opposed to playing at home.
Happy New Year, Jimmy. Appreciate the insight as always. Thanks.
All right, pal.
Jimmy Vaccaro in Vegas. Long, long time. I've been talking to Jimmy for, 25 years. He's been doing it for almost 40. It's good to have Jimmy there breaking it down. Carolina 3-38. 38 seems high, Eric, for this game. I mean, I'm thinking like 34.
38. Yeah.
Like 21-17. I don't see 17 coming out of the Cardinals. I don't see their defense giving up like 28 or...
Unless there's going to be a garbage touchdown at the end for the backdoor cover. That happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
Where you think, oh, yeah, I got the number all figured out. And then someone, there's a pick six or, you could easily see Lindley throwing a pick six at the end of the game, couldn't you?
Wow, you're kind of harsh.
No.
It's not a nice way to end 2014, this poor young man.
As we say on
what
the show.
What did he do to you?
I speak in truce. That's what I do.
What was your favorite moment of the year?
Man, putting me on the spot.
Sure.
Local, national?
It doesn't matter.
Anything?
I don't care. You got married.
That's probably it.
Come on. I mean, this really isn't that hard.
Well, that's the. I mean, we are doing a sports show, so of course
we do a lifestyle show.
No, we do a sports show.
We kind of do sports.
We do a sports show that mixes in lifestyle.
Some days I don't feel like doing sports.
We're on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports.
Sometimes I feel like talking about movies more than I do talking about sports.
Every Friday at about 10:50.
But I might want to talk about it today. I don't know. That was the highlight of your year, was getting married?
Yeah, now you're questioning it. It was your suggestion in the first
place. Supposed to be swimming with turtles.
No, the marriage was much better.
What did I have this year? My wife had a knee replacement. My daughter tore her ACL. My other daughter called off an engagement.
Yeah, you had a wild 2014.
No, but this has been growing.
It has. No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you with a question mark on the end.
That's good. That's funny. That was the moment of the year right there.
No, in all seriousness, the Cardinals season has been really fun because this is a team that no one really gave that much of a chance to, especially after Dockett went down and they had all the injuries. And they're in the playoffs, like you said. I mean, yeah, it's not ideal, but you're in the playoffs. You're in the dance. You've got a chance.
I'm trying to think if there's anything, or, you know, the Suns just continue to spin their wheels, and I don't feel good about them in 2015. I just don't. They've got to get to a point where they take all these commodities and turn them into a big-time player.
Just replay the tape from last season. I think that's what it's going to get down to. The spring's going to come around, and they're going to have to go on a big win streak, and they probably will, and then in the final few weeks, they'll just miss the playoffs.
I sat with Herb Sendek yesterday. I was out at the Visit Mesa. I sat with Dan Marley yesterday, and you know, Herb has just got to push through. And I'm in the bleachers, and fans are not happy. And 20 wins is not going to get it done. May get it done for the Regents, not going to get it done. I'm looking at that as a storyline in 2015. I think he's in trouble.
What's the ceiling though? Like, what is a good season for ASU basketball? Was last year considered a good season?
No, I mean they would say yes, but they're. When you're mired in mediocrity, getting to the tournament is considered a good season. I mean, just getting there. And they were one and done. Okay. And then they went through a complete transformation. And I'm going to the game Sunday in Tucson. I'm going to the ASU U of A game Sunday. I have to see, because up here, they've played U of A well. Let's see how they play down there. You can come up with any stat you want trying to make it look pretty. It hasn't been pretty the last several years.
It's hard to win here. The last time they were in the Sweet 16, Brad, Bill Frieder was the coach.
I was there. And who knows? The late Tom Dillon and I were there.
Who knows what Frieder had to do to get those big-time recruits to come to ASU? Ever since the mid to late 90s, ASU basketball has had three or four elite players, Eddie House, Ike Diagu, James Harden, but they've always been...
And Jahee's last year was not elite.
They've always been just like a team. You know, make it to the tournament, maybe win a game, maybe get to the round of 32. But that's kind of it. And until you change everything like Todd Graham has done with the football program, I think that those are realistic expectations. Todd Graham came in, I'm going to win Pac-12 championships. We're going to play for titles. We're going to get double-digit wins. Check. Now... everything is elevated. My expectation level is
you can't go back to El Paso next year.
No. But with ASU basketball,
you can't go to San Diego. You can't go to San Diego.
Sendek hasn't gotten the basketball program to the point where Graham has the football program. So the expectations have to be more realistic. I just think that's, especially with what U of A is doing in basketball. I mean,
I'm going to wonder about Ken Kendrick keeping the Diamondbacks in 2015. I know that Ken is a baseball fan, and I know that he's put 10 years into this, and I have nothing other than just my own thought on that, that you sure you want to keep doing this?
He put $110 million into a team that lost 98 games last year.
Are you sure you want to keep doing this? That's just my own view. You know, Robert Sarver in 2015 is going to lobby for a new building. You could certainly make the argument that U.S. Airways now... Talking Stick, whatever the casinos are, and it's Talking Stick, there's a need for a new building. Is it a definite need? Is it going to attract new players and better players? They can make that argument. They'll stand at a press conference and say, we need this to recruit better players. I don't know. The best player on the planet ended up going to Cleveland because he wanted to go home. So it's not about a building. It's about a culture. you know, I think the Coyotes are going to sit here and do the same old thing. Yeah, they've won four in a row, and that's all well and good, but we're going to sit here and wonder with every report, are they going to be moving here or moving there? And when they shoot the game low so you don't see above, like, the first three rows, that's not good. You want the opening shot to be wide open of filled up fans everywhere. I'm bullish on the college for 2015. I am. I think both Arizona and Arizona State are going to just continue to go in the upward direction. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Have yourself a great New Year's. And thanks for being with us on AZ Central Sports as well. Appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmatt.